Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
On the Bechdel cast, the questions asked if movies have women in them. Are all their discussions just boyfriends and husbands, or do they have individualism? The patriarchy's effing vast. Start changing it with the Bechdel cast.
Welcome to the Bechdel cast. My name's Jamie.
My name's Caitlin.
And this is Bechdel cast, the podcast about how women are represented in movies. But today it's an episode we've been waiting for a very long time to do. And I'm so excited. And it's going to be the best day ever.
It's Shrek.
Shrek. It's Shrek.
But you're excited about Shrek the musical, not Shrek the movie.
I don't like Shrek the movie. I love Shrek the musical. It's the best Broadway musical ever committed to Broadway. Broadway luminaries. Luminaries. Sutton Foster as Princess Fiona. Brian D'Arcy James as Shrek himself.
I don't know who any of those people are.
Dear God, Caitlin. I'm very excited for... I have a lot of things to say about Shrek. I'm very excited for today. So this is our podcast about the Bechdel test, though.
Yeah.
Right.
If you don't know what that is, hey, I'll tell you. It's a test. You apply it to a movie or whatever.
Sure
it
is.
It requires that there are two female characters with names. They talk to each other about anything other than a man. Most movies.
Spoiler, this movie does not do very well.
Does not do very well at all.
In terms, but the musical does better.
Oh, does it?
Yes.
Interesting.
Shrek the Musical is essentially just a way more dramatic version of Shrek the Movie. It's actually better because there's more emotional depth.
Interesting.
There's songs that sound like they could be sung by Bon Jovi, perhaps, but are instead being sung by Shrek, which is like wild. It's crazy.
Well, I'm fascinated to see where this discussion goes.
I'm so excited. I'm so excited.
Let's introduce our guest before
yes.
we get much further.
Let's see it.
She's a comedian. She is the co-founder of Disoriented Comedy. Atsuko Okatsuka!
Woo!
Hello. Welcome!
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for pitching Shrek.
For some reason, it spoke to me.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So wait, what's your personal history with Shrek? When did you first see the movie?
Gosh, I guess when it first came out, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so 2001.
2001,
yeah, I guess so.
It's crazy that Shrek has been in our lives for this long.
16 years.
It honestly feels like longer. It does.
Yeah,
I don't remember life before Shrek.
There's part two in it. Is there a three?
There's a three and maybe a four.
A five in production, gang.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa.
And yeah. Little did anyone in this room know, a Broadway musical that ran for 4 years.
Right.
I knew about the musical. I've seen like pictures of it and just the aesthetic of like Shrek and his makeup. I was like, oh, I never want to see that.
It's very scary. There's a full taping of the Broadway production on Netflix. It's been there for years. I'm pretty sure I'm the only person who's ever watched it.
Wow.
But you can see Sutton Foster really, really humiliate herself and she's in a show with Hilary Duff right now. So it's like, you know, she's not afraid to do things that are maybe a little embarrassing. But her playing Princess Fiona is like, man, and she got nominated for a Tony. So
wow,
ups to Sutton Foster. Yeah, this was a very popular, successful musical, in spite of the fact that it was Shrek the musical and very scary to look at.
Well, Shrek the movie was enormously popular.
Yes, so but the people dress. Reason. But people dressed as Shrek should not have worked out.
No, it for should sure. not.
And if you look at it, you're like, "There's no. This is very scary."
Is the makeup scary?
For sure.
It's let just me like a visual weird. For you. It's just like
we'll put this.
It's not just
looking.
Like the green. Big
I mean, he's got like
head.
A big bulbous head, and yeah. then they like put it's the little a, ears on him.
It's
and
a lot. It's,
which is what you said is great because that is the theme of Shrek, right? Oh wow, okay, yeah. So they do make him look like Shrek in the
yeah.
movie.
Yeah, they yeah. do. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
There's no compromise. Arguably, maybe there could have been a little compromise, but I mean, I guess if you're trying to get kids to go to it, but
yeah. And the whole point is like, you know, it's not what's on the outside, right?
Right. That's the moral right. of the story.
But yeah. with the cameras that close, and it's a Broadway musical, so you're not meant to be as close as you can see them in the Netflix special, because you can see just Brian D'Arcy James sweating through his Shrek. He's giving it 110%.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And that's why he gets nominated for Tonys.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure ogres don't have pores, you know? And so
right.
you can't, for the realism of it, yeah.
The animated Shrek seems very slick.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah.
He's got hair follicles. I Does feel he? Like he's got pores.
He? Yeah.
Well, the Shrek of the books is riddled with facial acne. Not oh, and I'm not shaming Shrek. I'm just saying I have a visual of Shrek looking into a mirror
him,
full
like,
of
wiping
Shrek.
Sweat off.
Well,
you know?
There's
he's got blackheads.
Oh right? yeah.
He's
okay.
got blackheads.
Oh, he does have hair too. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I can relate.
There's an opening scene, like the opening credits in the movie. There's a whole montage, and Shrek is like getting a mud shower basically in one of the shots, yeah. and he like turns around, you see his nipples, you see his chest hair. Mm-hmm. He's got like
oh, he does have chest true. Hair in the yeah. movie.
I didn't remember that. I just remembered the mud bath.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I was looking for the that. Finer details.
How human is he? Yeah,
you know, he's just like us.
Right. So you've just seen the first one.
Yes, I have only seen the first one. Yeah, I think
totally
the,
fair.
The second one he has kids or something?
The third one he has kids. The second the one is about him meeting
In
Fiona's
laws.
Parents.
Oh.
I own Shrek 2 on DVD.
Jesus
brag.
Amazing.
Wow, no, I need to see.
Aristotle and I were trying to figure out the difference between 3 and 4.
I don't think I went as far. I've seen the third one. I haven't seen the fourth one.
See, we've both seen the fourth one, but neither of us have. Oh, you haven't seen the fourth one? I'm sorry. I just made Aristotle seem like more of a freak than he actually is. I've seen 1, 2, 4 and the musical a million times.
Okay.
Okay.
I have not seen 3.
Huh.
So what's your personal experience, Caitlin?
I saw Shrek 1 in the theater. Not the musical stage theater, just the movie theater. And
we'll make do.
But yeah, I've seen Shrek probably a dozen times, quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen this movie a lot. What about you?
Well, this is one of my... First of all, I'm sorry in advance, but this is one of the few chances I have on the podcast to shine in terms of having knowledge of a movie, because usually I'll say, I watched it an hour ago. But this time I get to say... I have a grand history with Shrek. I did not see it in the theaters, but I did see it. I've seen it many times. I got very interested in the musical after being very afraid of it when I watched it in college on Netflix. I have since seen Shrek the Musical over 10 times. I've written quite a bit about it.
Mm-hmm.
I've sold my own Shrek nudes on the internet
mm-hmm.
and raised $3,000 for Planned Parenthood.
And describe for the listeners at home who may not be familiar with your Shrek nudes, what exactly do you mean by that?
When I say my Shrek nudes, I mean I painted myself green
okay.
and took a bunch of nudes and then sold them on the World Wide Web,
mm-hmm.
Even though that wasn't their original purpose. they were for an export, but I recycled them
sure.
and sold them for one of the many times the government was trying to defund Planned Parenthood. This was about 2 years ago.
Yeah, it seems mm-hmm. to happen every month. So
right, yeah.
yeah, it was one of those times. Unfortunately, we didn't save them with Shrek nudes, as I was hoping we would. But I've seen Shrek the Musical over 10 times in 3 states, and I write about it about once a year, and it has become an important part of my life.
Okay.
Wow.
And how similar is the musical to the first movie?
I would say that it, I mean, it's the same story, uh-huh. but the way it's told is very different. You learn, I mean, even on a base level, you learn way more about Shrek as a character, and you get more about his background in the first scene of the musical than you get in the entire movie. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, we don't get much Shrek backstory.
Right. You do in later movies, but yeah, mm-hmm. in the musical, the first scene is Lil Shrek, which is always fun to see in the musical because you see usually a young husky boy uh-huh. dressed as Shrek
with green, yeah,
and his parents are singing to him about how ogres have to be very tough and they're hated by society and you have to be really tough, and then they kick him out of the house when he's 7 years old to go and brave the world himself. Mm. So automatically you're like, man, Shrek's had a hard life. Yeah. Whereas the movie is just sort of like, somebody wants to know me. And you don't find out anything
about
him.
Shrek the movie is 90% Smash Mouth.
It's so much. I forgot about that soundtrack.
Oh God, it does not age well.
Here's something fun. In Shrek the Musical, it still ends with Smash Mouth's I'm a Believer. And the whole cast sings it, and they take their bows. It's great.
Yikes.
They just got the right. Smash Mouth was like, yeah, you can have that
yeah.
song.
Yeah, I mean, Smash Mouth, I'm guessing they need the check.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's either like, we'll that or sometimes hear it at, like, Ross.
Yeah. And that song's a cover anyways. Like, that song's not Smash Mouth's song.
Sure.
It's like some 60s. Right. All-Star
is
their song.
But All-Star
song.
Is a Smash Mouth original.
The Smash Mouth Ridge. My favorite memorial tweet for 9/11 every year is the Smash Mouth one, where Smash Mouth posts the same weird tweet every year of, like, Smash Mouth remembers 9/11. And it just has a visual of those words. And then, like, the silhouette of the twin. I was like, why you? Like, what?
Yeah.
No, I...
Bizarre. The most bizarro tribute to 9/11 you'll find every single year for, like, as long as Twitter has existed.
Okay, well, there's Smosh Mouth? How do you...
Smosh Mouth.
Let's do the recap.
Let's do it.
Shrek... Mm-hmm. is about an ogre named Shrek.
He's stinky.
He loves mud. He just wants to be left alone. And mm-hmm. he lives in this, like, I don't know, Middle Ages, whatever, like, European...
My swamp.
...kingdom thing. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And all these fairy tale creatures get dumped on his swamp lawn. And he's like, wait a minute. But before that, he meets Donkey. And Donkey is a talking donkey. Because... Lord Farquaad is trying to round up all the fairy tale creatures. So he's like paying people to get rid of them because he wants this perfect white kingdom without any gross fairy tale creatures. So all these fairy tale creatures end up on Shrek's thing. And he's like, I'm going to go talk to this Lord Farquaad. And meanwhile, Lord Farquaad is trying to be a king. And in order to do that, he has to marry a princess.
Oh, but the funny thing is he's short.
He's short, and it's hilarious.
He's short, and so therefore he's a little Napoleon.
Right. I wonder if that is, like, a poke at Disney for having, like, all, like, the short daddies.
Well, this whole movie is a poke at Disney.
For sure.
To the point where it's like, why does it exist? Yeah. But we'll get there.
But Shrek's like, hey, Farquaad, get your shit off my land. And he's like, go rescue a princess for me so I can be king and marry her. So Shrek goes and rescues Princess Fiona. She's locked in the highest tower of the tallest room of the whatever.
Another person who's too good to be in this movie, Cameron Diaz.
I don't care much for Cameron Diaz.
I don't either, but she's still too good for this movie.
She's got
thin lips.
So
that's my hot critique.
So he goes to rest. He and Donkey, who are friends at this point, even though he's like, I don't like friends. I don't have any friends. They go to rescue Princess Fiona. And she's like, wait a minute. You're an ogre? Gross. I hate ogres. I need to be rescued by my true love so I can have true love's first kiss. And they're like, why is that so important to you? And then we find out mm-hmm. it's because a spell had been cast on her mm-hmm. and she turns into an ogre every night. But she and Shrek are, like, kind of starting to dig
They're
each
vibing.
Other. They're vibing. They're lamping and they're vibing.
They're lamping together and they're starting to kind of vibe a little bit.
So Donkey's like, hey, what? And Donkey discovers her secret. She keeps, like,
One
hiding
it. One of the best songs in the musical. is sung by Donkey. Yeah, sung by Donkey when Shrek and Fiona are vibing. So Brian D'Arcy James and Sutton Foster are like, we're sharing squirrel meat or whatever they're eating. And then Donkey sings this whole song called Make a Move. And it's a funky, like,
sha-la-la-la-la-la, don't be shy.
It's kind of like a lobster.
You guys like kiss the girl.
But he's like, make a move. And then he brings in the three blind mice and they do a solo. And they're like these hot, but they're hot blind ladies in this version. It's super fun. It's a blast, top to bottom. You gotta love it.
All right.
That's part of where the musical passes the Bechdel test. The three blind mice talk to each other.
Oh, because they're all women.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know. Not all blind mice are men.
Common misconception. So Shrek and Fiona, they're vibing, but he overhears this conversation between Donkey and Fiona where she's revealing that, oh, I'm an ugly ogre and I can't be this way and I have to marry Lord Farquaad so I can be a beautiful, hot human lady the rest of my life.
Sure.
To lift the curse.
As one does.
And Shrek misinterprets this and thinks that she's talking about Shrek and being like, who would love an ugly beast like an ogre? So he gets all pissed off and he like sells her to Lord Farquaad, basically.
This is where the act one break in the musical is. And it's
that's the act one, because this that's like the end of the movie almost.
I know. Well, I mean, the act one break is more than halfway in, but
because acts in theater,
it's a two act
different.
It's two acts, yeah.
Okay.
An act one.
I was thinking three act structure, like screenplays. I do have a master's degree in screenwriting,
so it makes sense that you would think that. No, but in terms of act one, intermission, act two.
Got it.
So act one is usually longer, but there's this beautiful three part harmony. I've performed it at many a karaoke.
Okay,
with Shrek, Donkey, and Fiona singing. It's a song about who I'd be. Shrek is singing about how he wants to be a Viking. Donkey is singing about how he fears he's going to be alone for the rest of his life.
Oh, Donkey!
Fiona is singing about how her feminine illusions are falling apart. It's a beautiful... Go see the musical.
Go watch
it.
Yeah.
It's at
musical.
Almost every junior high at this point. It's off Broadway. Every junior high. I saw it at Malibu Junior High last year. And it was bad.
It sounds like an expensive production to pull off.
Especially for high school with all the costumes.
I mean, is there a dragon in it?
Well, it's this huge puppet that has two songs.
Whoa.
Yeah. So that's another place where it passes. But anyways, so you sort of have to drive out to wealthy. I had to drive to Malibu because they can afford to put on Shrek Jr. Right. But worth the trip. Don't regret it.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
So Fiona goes off and she's about to marry Lord Farquaad, and Donkey's like, Shrek, you fucking idiot, she likes you. And he's like, what? Oh, okay. And then he goes and storms the wedding and he's like, wait a minute, stop, I love you. And then Shrek and Fiona kiss and she thinks it's lifting the spell. But because her true love is Shrek and she takes true love's form, she stays as an ogre and isn't a human anymore. And she's like, I thought I would be beautiful. And he's like, you are beautiful. And then they get married in the end.
Hashtag relationship goals.
Yeah. And then suddenly the whole town's not scared of ogres anymore.
Right.
Yeah. Because of feminist icon Shrek.
Yeah. They were like, wow,
that's what they
it's
needed,
time to
a
be
new
progressive.
Leader.
Yeah. Well, here's something that is bizarre. I mean, there's this movie, like, baseline, totally pointless, shouldn't exist. But Lord Farquaad's character is basically trying to, like, purify, you know, like Hitler style, trying to purify the kingdom by marginalizing anyone who is not human, basically, right? And
created by humans.
Yeah.
You know, it is kind of like gentrification or
forcing
immigration
others into the swamp.
And that, like, humans who have power made these rules. Human beings made up fairy tales. And then to suddenly be like, no, no longer.
Yeah. You go get rid of swamp. Get out of here, witch.
Yeah.
A witch.
Right.
Gets,
right.
Yeah, these like imagination
burned at the stake. We don't see that witch again, I don't think.
Totally. Yeah. So you go to the swamp where we fear another creature that we made up, ogres, you know.
Right.
And that's where you will be forced to stay. Which, you know, there were no borders, so I don't know how that was going to work.
Right. They basically all say, like, go to Shrek's house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, when they force people out, they're like, oh, Shrek has a house. Go there.
Yeah.
And then everyone's, which is another fun, all the fairy tale creatures have two numbers in the musical, one in act one, one in act two. Let Your Freak Flag Fly. Very inspiring.
Okay. I guess I gotta watch this.
Pinocchio was nominated for a Tony, Caitlin.
What?
I know. He can hit the high notes. He was on the ones and twos. He was great. It's great. Pinocchio got nominated for a Tony.
We're gonna go to Malibu. We'll go to Malibu.
Next spring season, we're gonna go. It'll be a trip.
I'm busy that day.
Listen, it's a fun. It's a blast.
So we're here to talk about mostly the movie, although feel free to
interject. Okay. But thank you for reminding me.
For sure. One of the things about the movie is that there's pretty much only one female character. You could argue that the dragon is female, but that dragon doesn't have any lines and is a dragon. Mm-hmm. So there's essentially only one female character.
She has a whole song in the musical.
In the movie, there's one, and she's Fiona. There's a few other ones. There's like, you see some like fairy godmothers and like a witch and stuff like that, but they usually don't have lines. Mm-hmm. So there's really only one primary.
To Shrek.
Right. So there's one primary female character, Fiona. Immediately, she's framed as like a damsel in distress.
Right.
So she has to be saved. She has to be rescued. So the trope stands strong.
They subvert it to an extent.
Sure.
Not to the point where it might be uncomfortable for people. Not to the point where she's the dominant one in the relationship. Mm-hmm. But this whole movie is based on like, it's postmodern fairy tales, which is grow up, whatever, like dumb. But, I don't know.
Right. I mean, this movie does a lot to sort of subvert the tropes of fairy tales.
Mostly in a very obnoxious, egregious way.
Totally. But at the end of the day, the movie is still about, like, a woman needing to be saved by a man via being kissed by her one true love to break this enchantment. It's, like, one, very heteronormative. No surprise there. Mm-hmm. And, two, why... Okay, so later in the movie, we see a scene where Robin Hood comes and like tries to take her away and rescue her again, and then she like beats the shit out of him and all the merry men. If she's capable of that, why didn't she just save herself from being in the tower, kick the dragon's ass herself, go to the witch's house who put the spell on her in the first place, and be like, fucking undo this, you asshole?
Well, in theory, she was like beholden by the belief, right? That this is what had to happen, but that's not.
Well, it was never established. Well, maybe she thinks that she has to be rescued, but when she's describing the nature of the spell to Donkey, all she says is, "I need to kiss my one true love." Mm-hmm. So, like, it's not clear why
she could have left and found her true love.
Right. She could have been active and not insanely fucking passive.
Got it.
Right. So there's that problem.
Right.
I'm with you.
Yeah. There is the problem that Shrek and Donkey and this entire movie don't respect women. Here are some examples. Different comments that Shrek makes. Snow White ends up on his table and he's like, dead broad off the table.
Shrek. Come on.
There's the moment where they're entering the castle where the dragon lives. Donkey's like, so where is this fire-breathing pain in the neck anyway? And Shrek said, inside, waiting for us to rescue her.
Feminist icon Shrek.
I missed that.
Disappointing.
I missed that quick line. Yeah.
That's why I watch these movies 8,000 times. I pick up on all the stuff.
Musical Shrek, way less misogynist.
Oh, good.
More insecure.
Oh, that would be appropriate.
More
and
a little bit jittery, and it's just like, I don't know how to talk to girls.
But in the movie, Shrek is constantly
terrible,
pushing her away, tossing her, throwing her, like... A lot of physical violence towards her.
There's at least one point where he slams her down on the ground as like, shut up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It happens a lot
in
the movie. Oh, there's a moment when Donkey is telling Shrek to like wait till the right moment to crash the wedding, basically.
Oh, yes.
And he's like, chicks love that romantic crap. Mm-hmm. So just putting us all in a box.
Mm-hmm. Which is weird because he's been living alone for so long. To know these even...
How would he know?
Rules. Dating and chicks. And if he had been kicked out at 7 as well and had been living in that and just been hanging out with mud and slugs and stuff, I don't know how he would know that.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, I don't know. Maybe 7 in like ogre years is like 25.
Oh, 20. Oh,
like maybe he's actually 25 when he got kicked out.
Sure, yeah. So he saw how his dad treated his mom.
Right.
Well, but that's not... But that's not canon to the movie. It's canon right. to the
movie. Okay, yes, I have no...
But in theory, I think I feel like in later Shrek movies, which I don't remember as clearly, that they address his background at some point. And maybe that's where the musical drew it from, because the musical was released in 08. Mm. Maybe
it was also all adapted from a book, or at least the first movie.
Yes, a wonderful book by William Steig, who's a great New Yorker cartoonist. Mm. And I recommend the original, where Shrek is kind of just a villain who's forced to look at himself in a very existential way. Thus, my favorite illustration from the book, which is Shrek, the illustrated Shrek in a hall of mirrors looking back at 1,000 Shreks, and it's like, it's us. It's society.
Interesting.
Okay. Anyways. Yeah. Well, back to the
bashing.
Back to the...
right. It's the
beautiful source material.
Well, even with the dragon, too, even though we don't count her as a full speaking female role. Mm-hmm. When she realized, like, what stops her from being violent is, like, I guess lust.
Right, because she like wants to fuck donkey.
Yeah, exactly. She sees something that she likes, and then suddenly she has these long eyelashes that she's fluttering.
Yeah,
and she's like, oh, okay, I'm gonna stop my one dimensional character ways, which is I just breathe fire and stop people. Mm-hmm. Unless I fall in love with a donkey dude. And she does. Yeah.
That's interesting. And you could sort of make the same argument for Cameron Diaz for Princess Fiona of like, you know, it's not until they meet a male love interest that they're like suddenly these dimensions are released or like empowered and somehow like in theory, I feel like we're led to believe if Shrek and Donkey didn't show up, Fiona and the dragon would not have changed on their own.
Oh, totally not. Right. And, like,
right.
Fiona is, like, the only thing about her character, especially at the beginning, is that I need to find my true love, or my true love needs to rescue me. It's, like, incredibly one-dimensional.
In the musical.
Okay.
Fiona is locked up in a tower by her parents on Christmas Eve, and her parents are holding her hostage because they're telling her that until... her husband shows up that they were not going to release her.
I think actually you learned something to that effect in Shrek 2.
Well, then there you go.
So
beautiful, beautiful song called I Know It's Today, sung by three different Fionas, young Fiona, teenage Fiona, and of course, Sutton Foster, who makes quite the entrance in that song. Anyways, nominated for a Tony, snubbed for someone who probably did a better job doing something else.
Back to the dragon, though. A point I wanted to make about that is that it drives me nuts in a movie or a TV show or whatever that there is a character who you don't really know what the gender is at first, mm-hmm. and then the reveal is, oh, it's a girl. Like, oh, that right. cop that takes off its helmet and gets off a motorcycle, that was actually a woman.
Right.
Because it's like, how fucking stupid is it that, like, being a woman is somehow, like, a bonkers reveal.
Right, right. It's supposed to be like more impressive or the flaws make more sense.
That, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or just like the thing that where, I mean, I get why they do it. I get what they're doing when that happens. It's like this thing that you're socialized to believe is usually a man. Mm-hmm. Actually, it's a girl. Surprise.
Right.
Sure. But it's just like annoying that that has to be a reveal. Like that there isn't just like representation of women in roles like that where we would just be like, oh, sure, that's a girl because we see that as a woman mm-hmm. all the time.
Yeah.
Well, and another bit character that is deeply problematic that appears more in later movies and appears in the musical to the point where future incarnations of the musical scrubbed this lyric, except in one production I saw in Massachusetts, which was like, get rid of it. But anyway, I spoke with the director of this whole thing, but the Big Bad Wolf... In the movie, there's a lot of transphobic jokes made.
Oh, that makes a lot
at that character's expense. And even in the musical, there's a song like something, something, something dress. They called me a hot and tranny mess.
Oh,
and
what?
That was the lyric. Right. And which was in the original musical in 08, but then they took it out because they were just like, oh, that's fucking nightmare. That's terrible. You can't say that. Mm-hmm. And that's like kind of what this movie boils down to from a feminist perspective of it's like, it sort of is like, oh, the female lead's a badass, but just never in a way that is actually threatening or challenging to patriarchal standards. Like, she's allowed to kick, referencing right. her favorite McSweeney's article. Uh-huh. She kicks and she gets to fight a little bit, but never in a way that super affects the plot, and never in a way that challenges the heteronormative fairy tale standards right. of she has to end up with a guy, whether it's the mm-hmm. tiny misogynist or the larger ogre misogynist.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that scene, like I said, feels so unearned when she's like kicking Robin Hood's ass, because it's like, well, if you could do that, and if you had the agency to do that, why mm-hmm. didn't you have the agency to choose your own destiny and like go after what you actually wanted? If marrying a dude is what you want, mm-hmm. fine, but like then go out and get it. Like, it was insane to me that she was so passive and just like literally waiting around to be rescued.
Because I think maybe the writers were focused more on undoing fairy tales in general, mm-hmm. but not necessarily doing it in a refreshing way. Fairy tales are still about the damsel in distress, mm-hmm. but for them to be like, you know, what we're going to do is just constantly remind you that you're watching a fairy tale getting undone. But we're not quite there yet with being ready to have the female character be the lead.
Right.
Or
right,
the one
totally.
That can choose her own adventure. No, we're not quite ready for
it
that
It was 2001.
Yet. Yeah, yeah, I think it wasn't ready.
We're
it wasn't
ready
until
yet.
Like maybe Tangled or Frozen.
Brave or,
you
yeah.
know, yeah, it had to be
Moana.
Or Moana, yeah. I haven't seen those three films that I just named. So.
Gotta see Moana.
God, yeah, no, so I gotta see Moana. Oh, I did watch Tangled. I feel like, was she more independent? I don't even know.
I think
more,
so.
But still, the guy was like a little bit too involved.
Okay, okay.
He had to show up.
Yeah.
I remember her being, like, snippier than regular princesses. But, yeah, I think they were still focused on, like, people are used to still the idea of, like, the fairy tale. Let's just make fun of the idea of fairy tale. But it's still
right.
patriarchal. You know what I mean? Does that yeah. make sense?
Absolutely. I mean, I think that this whole movie is built on, and so much of, like, so much of Shrek, and this goes into this whole thing that I think about a lot because I don't have a life, is like how basically DreamWorks was this company that was formed to spite Disney, who do these fairy tale stories constantly. And so Shrek was just essentially meant to be a big middle finger from Jeffrey Katzenberg, who produced some really famous Disney like Renaissance movies,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. As a big middle finger to be like, oh, look, I did all this great work and then you fucking fire me or whatever the falling out was there. And now I have DreamWorks and now we're just going to say fuck you to Disney all the time. Mm-hmm. And doesn't really take the time to do that in a very thoughtful or interesting way. Because mm-hmm. even when like Princess Fiona's doing the kick thing and in theory, like total just on paper, that sounds very cool. But really all that does is earn her respect in the eyes of the men she's traveling with. Other
True.
Than that, there's mm-hmm. not a big effect right. on the plot.
Because right, up right, until right. that point, Shrek was like just mostly found her as a nuisance. And then when he sees
her on
that,
the ground,
right, he just does that even after that happens. Yeah. But mm-hmm. he finds her a total nuisance. And then as soon as he witnesses that whole like fight scene,
he's like, well, I'm not going to beat her up
he's
anymore.
Like, whoa, that was amazing. Like, that was yeah. so cool. I have a boner now.
He does not throw her on the ground in the musical. Thank you very much.
Oh, good. I'm so glad.
I think that's probably just a Sutton Foster thing. She's like, yeah. I will not be thrown. I'm the queen of Broadway. I will not be thrown on the ground.
I mean, I think this movie, although it does not handle this that well, and I'll explain why in a moment, but the moral of the story, as we already mentioned, is that like you should judge people based on their character, and mm-hmm. you should sure. get to know people before you judge them, and it doesn't matter what you look like, and your important thing is the content of your character. Mm-hmm. However, one of the reasons they don't really reinforce that in the story is that it's like pretty heavily confirmed that like Fiona, when she is an ogre, they're like, yeah, you're definitely ugly. She's like, I'm ugly. And Donkey's like, yep, you're for sure ugly. And the thing is, though, that like she basically looks exactly like she does as a human, except she's green and she's heavier. So they're mm-hmm. basically equating right. being fat to being ugly, which is incredibly problematic. Mm-hmm. And then on top right. of that.
And they do that with Shrek's character as well.
Yeah.
They do.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Any otherness is not right. accepted by Farquaad's
peeps.
Right. Uh-huh. And the movie's trying to say, like, no, you can still be ugly and you can still be likable.
Right.
But they're not. I mean, in the end, there's that line where she's like, I thought I was going to be beautiful. And Shrek's like, you are beautiful. But it's still sort of like, I think, implied that only Shrek could find her beautiful because he's also an ogre. And, like, she's still not.
Right.
Because she doesn't adhere to, like, Western beauty standards.
Yeah, it's the whole, you are so beautiful, but only to me. I mean, because that to me is what makes it like, well, why can't you just end it at you are so beautiful?
Right.
You know?
Right, right. Well, and then what do we think of the ending of sort of, it's implied, especially in the back half of the movie, once Donkey finds out that Fiona's knight form is as an ogre. Where he's like, well, Shrek's an ogre, you should hang out with him. Where it's like, I don't know, like, and this has been on, and I don't think originally, you know, it was like 8 or 9 when this movie came, I didn't have the language to articulate it. But I was like, well, are we to believe, you know, by the end when Fiona turns out that love's true form for her is she's an ogre, if she had been a human, would that have not been okay? Like, can only like and like belong together in this universe? And what does that mean? And like, is that never has sat well with me. Like, that just seems like a weird backwards thing to
I feel like gay and lesbian people experience this a lot, where like, they're like, you're gay, I have a gay friend, you should meet my gay friend. And it's like, well,
like, what if I don't like them?
There's like a pretty good chance you wouldn't want to date him, but people are just like, oh, because you're both gay, you should hang out. And it's like, no. So
yeah.
reminded me of that.
Yeah. That happens to people of color too, where it's like, oh, you would love my black guy friend. You know, he's single.
Yeah.
To another black girl, you know?
Right.
So really quick too, like going back to like, it's not on what's on the exterior, it's what's on the interior.
Mm-hmm.
If that was the case too, like Shrek in actuality is not very likable. Like, he's an asshole.
Neither is Fiona.
Yeah, like, Fiona both... either. And so I'm confused about that being the message initially, because it's like, if I've, you know, Shrek... I've known people like Shrek that's like, no, leave me alone. I'm a grumpy person because, like, people don't understand me. And so, in turn, they're an asshole. They let tragedy turn them into an asshole.
Right.
And they are hard to get along with. So, I don't know. Yeah. Tell me what I have to hang on to.
Right.
If I'm supposed to fall in love.
And that's, I mean, I think maybe that, in terms of the way that masculinity is portrayed a lot in pop culture, that is sort of a common thing to do of like, well, he's an asshole because he just doesn't know how to express himself. So you have to accept the fact that he's an asshole to you, usually a female character, because he just doesn't know. He just doesn't know. And you just have to deal with it.
And then you got to soften him up. You got to fix him.
You got to fix him.
That's an insult to people who never let sour things turn them sour and are nice.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
An insult to people who are actually nice, even if maybe on the exterior, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Like, I think it's cutting, you know, in no matter, you know, obviously that's not to discount any character or person's experience, but you can't always cut someone that much slack of like, you can't just be an asshole to everybody because you're like so insecure in your masculinity you can't express yourself, you know, or like you had a difficult childhood, and that's all valid and that's all character stuff.
But don't be surprised if people don't like you because of it.
Right. There should be consequences for being an asshole.
Yes. Right.
Always. Yeah.
Even like Donkey, there's a scene where after they've like gone on the whole journey and Fiona is hanging out with Farquaad, Donkey's all like, oh, you treat me badly and you undermine me and da 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 and all this stuff. And Shrek's like, why are you still hanging around then? Which is a legitimate question, because like, Donkey, why are you letting this person emotionally abuse you? And Donkey's like, because that's what friends are for. They forgive each other, which like feels like a wrong message to send to people. It's like, if someone's like being abusive toward you, maybe don't forgive them if it's their character to be a complete fucking asshole.
Yeah.
I would argue the most powerful relationship in this movie is Shrek and Donkey. And in the musical, but that's like Shrek and Donkey have more songs together than Shrek and Fiona do in the musical, dude.
Ooh.
But whatever. I mean, but there is more emphasis placed on, I guess, Shrek and Fiona's relationship is more integral to the plot, but in terms of characterization, it's way more Shrek and Donkey of like, they have, you know, these originally Shrek rejects him and he's like, no, I'm fun. And he's like, okay, you can come. And then they have a falling out, and then they have a reunion, and then it, like, there's just more in general. So I don't know. I hadn't thought of that until I watched it this last time, watching specifically for how female characters are treated. And granted, you know, Shrek and Fiona have a falling out, but it's based on a misunderstanding, and then he sells her.
Right.
Only to return and marry her without her ever saying, wait, you sold me because you got mad and you didn't even ask me what I did. Like,
right.
That should be a problem.
Right.
Of like, you overheard something and then you sold me to Hitler? Like, what are you doing? You know?
Yeah. But she's like, no, you're right. The sun's about to set. Let's marry.
Right. Right. Like, let's make out.
Did I remember the donkey actually apologizing too? He goes like, because friends forgive each other. And then Shrek says he forgives Donkey. But like, I don't really know what Donkey did wrong besides just getting close with Fiona. I don't know.
I think it was because Donkey didn't tell Shrek because he promised Fiona he wouldn't tell.
Oh, as part of the misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Shrek was all like, oh, they're buddy-buddy and they're ganging up on me. And like, all this stuff. But like, that's not what was happening. So
right.
If Donkey did apologize, he didn't need to. But
Which goes back to the point of like, which goes back to the point of like, that is a weird message to give. Kids are watching this and going like, oh, that's how it should be a friend. If they wrong me, I apologize and I should forgive anyway, even if I didn't do anything wrong. I don't know. I don't know what the demographic is of this film. I think it's more adults.
It's pretty wide.
Right?
Well, it's kids and adults. Like, there was enough like adult humor that adults can appreciate it.
Yeah.
If you're the lowest common denominator of people.
Yeah. Where it's like small penis jokes and stuff. Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, that's... And this is another, like, DreamWorks movie thing where this is what happens in DreamWorks movies. But this is, like, the first very successful one where this movie is, like, pushing postmodern jokes to the point where, for the most part, this movie in theory is for kids. You can bring your kids to see it because most of the jokes will fly over their head. But to the point where it's like, do these kids even know what is being riffed on? Like, do they know the source material of these 4 billion fairy tales? And do they know? And, you know, it is made more for stupid adults who don't have a... Sorry, people who love this movie. But, like, you know, don't have a developed enough brain to laugh at anything other than like, I've heard of that, because that's this whole movie is
right.
Oh my god, a song, huh? Because it's funny because the ogre is singing the song, like there's just so little thought put into any joke, and it's infuriating. It's really...
And then another note on the comedy is that like, Shrek is always cracking jokes. They're not that funny, but at least he's like,
he's
making jokes.
Goofing off, man. Mm-hmm.
Donkey is by and large like the comic relief of the movie. Even Farquaad gets some like funny moments. Fiona, like, she doesn't get any funny line. I feel like none of the comedy in the movie is given to her. Like, she's never given an opportunity to make people laugh, except for maybe the nod to, like, the Matrix thing where she's, like,
which is another,
up in the air and then kicks the two
dumb
and there's, like, a
people.
Rotate. Yeah, right.
This movie's for dumb people. This movie's for the idiots.
But, like, yeah, there's just, she doesn't get any, well, her character sucks. She's, like, a brat. She's entitled. She's passive. This movie does a little bit more than other movies in terms of like showing why the two characters might like each other, but it's all very superficial stuff where it's like, oh, they both burp and they both like to.
And again, that's her earning his respect by being more like him.
Right. Yeah.
Being more like a man is earns her respect.
She's like, let me take
eyes.
This snake and turn it into an animal balloon. Oh, cool.
Right.
I'm like, trick. Yeah.
Cool dick balloon, Fiona.
So, yeah, I don't like her character in any way. And the attempts that the movie does make it, like, because so often you see in a movie where it's like a man is the lead and he has a love interest. And you're never really sure why they'd be interested in each other because the female character is usually so poorly developed that it makes no sense why they would end up together.
Right.
But they're like, she's hot, so he likes her. And that's good enough. I think the movie does a little bit tiny more than most movies to develop that romantic relationship, but it's still not enough.
Mm-hmm.
So, shrug.
I think it is interesting, just a quick acknowledgement of how Shrek has aged into now, where largely, except with children and adults who saw it when they were stupid and have not gotten smarter or more critically thinking since 2001, which God help those people, but there's been this huge subculture that's developed of people making fun of Shrek for how derivative and lame and, you know, just a movie that really takes pleasure on feeling very cutting edge while accomplishing nothing, mm-hmm. you know, and there's this whole subculture for it online, and some of it, and at this point it's pretty much extinct, and that's good. But, you know, like, I'm sure some of our listeners would recognize the Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life videos and like all these. I'll show them to you.
Okay. They're gonna, yeah, I don't know about these.
Yeah. Dang, they're going to blow your mind. There was this PC game that came out around the time Shrek the movie did, and people found it maybe 10 to 12 years after the movie came out and started making these very bizarre sketches using the Shrek characters that were very like hypersexual and demonized Shrek and condemned the character. And sometimes they're very funny. Sometimes they were too dark and like, don't watch those ones. There's also a subculture for Jimmy Neutron as well. But anyways, all that to say, Shrek, I would argue, is not a movie that has aged well in any way, and kind of in a pop culture way, hasn't been as accepted down the line. I mean, Shrek 5 is going to make $1 million, but it's not going to have as many.
Only $1 million? That's terrible for a movie.
Sorry, a billion. Okay. Okay. A trillion. It's going to make 10 times what Boss Baby made.
or the Emoji Movie. Yeah.
Or the Emoji Movie. Oh, yeah. R.I.P. Emoji Movie. Probably feminist icon, the Emoji Movie. But you know, all I have to say, like, Shrek 5 will, and this is not saying a lot, but probably be more conscientious of its audience than
I would
Shrek
hope so.
That came out 2 months before 9/11, you know? Uh-huh. Like, it really was just like, yeah, what was subversive in 2001 is deeply problematic now.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll show you Shrek is Love, Shrek is Life.
I'm excited to see that.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any other final thoughts about the movie?
I don't think so. I'm going to watch 2, 3, 4, and 5, I guess.
And the musical.
And the musical. because besides them having kids and him meeting her parents and maybe finding about his parents, I don't know, maybe it'll be cool to see, like, the fifth one be, like, his daughter Shrek.
Ooh,
woke Shrek, girl,
you know,
Shrek.
Girl Shrek.
All female Shrek. Reboot of Shrek.
Yeah, something.
Queer and Shrek. Falls in love with Fiona.
Nonsense
and she's a girl.
Shrek.
Or like maybe she doesn't fall in love and she's just trying to get a job and it's hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. A female Shrek tries to negotiate a salary is the plot
tries
of
to
Shrek 5.
Negotiate salary. Exactly. but
also I, one more thing to throw in for Shrek 3, the only Shrek movie I have not seen, it turns out. That came out in 07 and already the Shrek culture was such a joke that Tim and Eric were the first people to jump on promoting Shrek 3 as a great movie. It's been a joke for well over 10 years now.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I would recommend watching the Tim and Eric Shrek 3 promo videos as well, because okay. they were issued a cease and desist.
That's amazing. Yeah. Let us discuss whether or not the movie passes the Bechdel test. Sure does not.
No, sorry.
Were there even any opportunities? When were two women in the same scene?
I mean, in the beginning, when all the fairy tale creatures are in Shrek's swamp, there are like a few fairy godmothers. There's Snow White, but she is unconscious. Oh, that's the other thing I wanted to say.
In the end, at the wedding? No.
Yeah. At the end, so you see her in the beginning in like the like glass casket thing.
Sleeping,
unconscious, so she can't talk.
Yeah.
In the end, though, she and Cinderella slap each other whenever Fiona's trying to throw her bouquet.
Yeah.
Perpetuating that. Like,
do they talk or do they just...
They do not speak.
They're just slapping each other.
They slap each other because they want the bouquet so bad because
that means they're still getting married next.
Yeah.
God damn it.
Yeah. And then, so...
Jeffrey Katzenberg.
I'm like, who woke her up? First of all, I want to know that.
Yeah. Well, someone...
She's like,
probably
bouquet?
Kissing her.
Surprise kiss.
Unconsensually.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
You cannot have consent when you're in a coma.
That's when we need a girl Shrek.
We've all seen Kill Bill.
Yeah, no, you will get... Wait, she attacks with her mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Aristotle, Snow White comes back in later Shrek movies, right? She comes back in Shrek 3? We don't know. I don't know.
She's in the trailer for 3, though.
She's in the trailer for 3.
Okay.
So she keeps coming. I mean, that... she's not represented better, 100%. And granted, with Snow White, you're presented with an uphill battle from moment one.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Especially whenever Lord Farquaad finds, like, the magic mirror on the wall, and he's like, how do I become a king? And he's like, you got to marry one of these princesses. So he does this whole, like, bachelorette number one.
Right.
Something like, Cinderella is a mentally abused shut-in whose hobbies are cooking and cleaning for her two evil stepsisters. First of all,
at least they
probably not her hobbies.
Yeah, yeah.
At least they say she mentally abused. I don't know.
But then, like, it's kind of like, it's like shaming her for it. Like, it's not her fault that she was abused. Yeah. But they're like, oh, she's not a viable candidate because she's been abused by men. And then they talk about Snow White. The joke is, even though she lives with 7 other men, she's not easy. And then just kiss her dead frozen lips and find out what a live wire she is. Or don't kiss a sleeping unconscious woman. Don't ever do that.
Yes.
Yeah. And then it sort of presented, or this was my read of the scene, that Farquaad is pressured by the people, you know, his like thugs or whatever around him to choose Fiona because she's the least damaged sounding of the three. But then the mirror is like, but also,
I should tell you that thing that
major
happens
plot
at
point
night.
Coming up in 45 minutes, you know, and and so he chooses her because she sounds like the least bogged down by her circumstances that are not her fault.
Yeah.
But that's not even true, you know.
Ugh, I hate it. Oh, the other thing I wanted to point out is that Shrek rescues Fiona. Mm-hmm. A night passes. The next day, like, they got off to a rocky start.
He keeps throwing her on the ground, and she doesn't like it.
The next day, she kills a bird with her voice and then steals the bird's eggs.
Fun effect.
She steals the eggs and, like, cooks them. And her way of, like, making a nice gesture to be like, hey, let's make amends is to cook them food.
That's true.
He cooks for her later.
True.
He cooks her swamp food.
He made her the weed rat.
Weed rats, right.
Yeah.
So I let that go on the basis that he reciprocated it.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's fair. But I was just like, oh, she's doing like a domestic chore.
Right. And maybe, and you know, she's probably conditioned to think that's what you should do.
Right.
Right.
So I wondered where she would cook in that space she was in for so long. But you know.
Yeah, did she have access to a kitchen? What was going on there?
Well, in the musical, she says she had a hot plate.
Oh, okay, good. I mean, I worry about these things.
She says she had a hot plate and a chamber pot.
Oh, good.
Like, oh, no, she says, I had no toilet. That was a line in the musical.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, it sounds like the musical answered a lot of questions I have about.
Yeah.
You gotta watch it.
movie does not pass the Bechdel test. Doesn't even come close. There are never two women with speaking roles in the same scene at any point. Mm-hmm. Let's rate the movie on our nipple scale. 0 to 5 nipples based on its portrayal of women. I'm going to give it like a 1. Like, it does not do well for me. Between her only ambition is to fall in love with a man and be rescued by him. Doesn't matter even who it is. She's just like, I just need a man to save me and kiss me. That's really her only ambition pretty much throughout. And eventually, you know, she finds someone who she might like, even though, like, are they compatible? I don't know. That remains her whole goal throughout the movie. And Shrek is a misogynist piece of shit. Donkey isn't much better. The treatment of women is just bad.
Yeah.
It's no good.
There's no getting around it.
No. So one nipple, it belongs to Donkey.
Ooh, weird choice.
Well, because I like to give animal. Okay, never mind. I'm going to read.
Near, like, an additional nipple? Like, another one on his chest?
I wonder how many nipples donkeys have. Do they have
stay
udders?
Tuned for Donkey Facts with Kate.
I don't even know how that works. Does it protrude more if you're a certain donkey?
Right.
Two teats.
Two teats?
That's what popped up on Google right away. It didn't say two nipples. It said two teats.
Okay, I'm like, so Kaylin, one donkey teat.
Kaylin here pinned a nipple on the donkey. I'm going to have to say, I give it a 1, too.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because even though it's the old tale of, you know, the princess needs to get married, and that's her one thought. It's also motivated by her looks.
She's
like, because if I do it, that I don't have to be an ogre anymore at night.
Right.
So it's just like an extra 1-2 punch into
into
my nipples. And that one nipple I will put on, I guess, Farquaad. Is that
you see his nipple in the movie?
Oh, yeah, you do.
He's like sitting in bed topless.
I don't remember that.
Yeah. It's when he's like he's probably jerking off because it's when he's looking at the magic mirror on the wall and he's like, show me again.
Oh,
and it like
yes.
rewinds just like a picture of her and he's like in his bed, not wearing a shirt, probably
was the
jerking
a guy
off.
Too?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
That character you see, Farquaad? And I think, no, the mirror.
Oh, the mirror.
I think the mirror is in Snow White in the Seven
and he
Dwarfs,
is a male.
Right?
Yeah. I thought that too, because originally I was like, shouldn't that be a female character? But I checked it.
Okay, got you.
Yeah.
That's still, why he was saying those things about the princesses.
Right.
Something they could have subverted, but chose not to.
Chose not to.
Mm-hmm.
Or it's not like they're like, hey, should we subvert this or not? They probably didn't even think of it. They're probably just like, well.
No, my friend's a guy. I'd like to give him a job.
I'm going to put the nipple in the mirror, actually.
Okay, yeah.
Right. So speaking as a woman who has been sexually rejected by Farquaad in a local production of Shrek the Musical, I would like to give this movie one nipple in terms of its female portrayal and in terms of how its Farquaads respond to 22-year-old women sexually interested in them. There's no getting around it. There's no really redeeming female character. So it's even worse than most movies we encounter where, you know, a popular summer movie usually includes one female character who might be great and has agency, but there's no one for her to talk to.
Right.
Not only is there no one for Fiona to talk to, but her character is completely half-baked as well.
Yeah.
That said, watch Shrek the Musical. there's literally a lot of amazing work done, and I encourage you to foster Shrek feminism of your own. Reclaim what Shrek has denied you.
Yes, indeed.
Yes. And I will give my nipple to Sutton Foster as Princess Fiona in Shrek the Musical.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Certainly. Where can people follow you online?
You can find me at Otsko Comedy on Instagram, Twitter. I'm on all the platforms.
Medias.
I'm on the platforms. Just it'll pop up if you start typing my very Japanese, just A-T-S-U-K-O, it'll pop up.
She's very searchable. You can follow us on all the platforms as well, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. You can go to our website, bechdelcast.com.
For sure.
You can find upcoming live shows,
including
our one-year anniversary live show at the Nerdist Showroom at Meltdown Comics.
Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Gee, how did you get that? Oh, I don't know. Maybe program director of that venue, Caitlin Durante. Maybe she put that show up
whoop,
there.
Whoop, whoop.
I don't know. So check that out. It's on December 2nd at 7 p.m.
Details forthcoming.
Indeed.
Special guest, special movie.
Ooh,
will Alfred Molina be there? I haven't talked about Alfred Molina all day.
Yeah.
God. Okay. Well, Alfred Molina, I don't care what he was doing at this time. He was like, I don't fuck with DreamWorks. I think that's what Alfred Molina would say.
For sure.
Just putting words in his dignified, talented mouth. Also watch Rat Teens on the Cafe streaming platform is my new cartoon about teenage rats.
It's wonderful.
Thank you.
And happily ever after.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
A new season of Bridgerton is here. And with it, a new season of Bridgerton, the official podcast. I'm your host, Gabby Collins. And this season, we are bringing fans even deeper into the ton. Watch season 3 of the Shondaland series on Netflix. Then fall in love all over again by listening to Bridgerton, the official podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Subscribe to catch a new episode every Thursday.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elia Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.